To get some more information about what's been going on in terms of the Mohawk Nation and the Mohawk Nation news, we have a guest joining us right now on the line. She is an elder, an educator, and the editor of the Mohawk Nation News. And I'd like to welcome back on the Word of Mouth show, Cantonitha Horn. Hi, Cantonitha. Hi, yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Not bad, I just wanted to start off with, I guess, the last time when we had you on the show was about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And you explained the story about, and it's a story that's also featured on the Mohawk Nation News in the article from September called Mohawk Nation News Editor Arrested for Assaulting Canada Border Commandos, Trial Pending. And you told the story of about a team of these commandos, about 12 to 14 commandos that attacked you at the borders. And you actually, in that story, you mentioned that you had just got some footage of the incident that happened in 2008, but you hadn't watched it yet. Have you watched it, the footage?
Yes, I have.
And what does it show? What happened?
Well, it hasn't been concluded yet. The court case has not been concluded yet.
Oh, right.
And I was told by my lawyer not to
talk
discuss it.
Okay.
But I can tell you this, that I haven't got much choice in what I can do, because I don't have any finances to fight the case. It would cost me tens of thousands of dollars to fight the case, and I just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have much. I've been backed into a corner because of lack of funds, and so that's where it stands right now. And on the 21st of January, there'll be a decision as to what's going to happen to me.
Okay, then we'll have you on. We'll make
sure
to... You'll
have to call me then.
Yeah,
but up
definitely.
But right now...
You can't talk, right.
I've been told by my lawyer not to give out any details
mm-hmm.
about it, other than, you know, on the 21st, there
mm-hmm.
will be some kind of a conclusion. So
mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that is. It could be anything, you know. We don't know because they want to pursue it and have a big trial, which would mean that I would I wouldn't have any defense. You know, I wouldn't have anyone defending me because it would I can't afford it. So that's what they do to us. So even if you're innocent, which I am. I'm being charged with assault.
Wow.
Assault and obstruction. And I'm totally innocent. I'm the one that ended up almost dying. I, you know, had a heart attack from what happened. And I ended up in the hospital, and I'm the one that now has to have medical care. So
mm-hmm.
that's where it stands now. So I
mm-hmm.
don't know whether I can go any further than that right now.
Right,
I'd be glad to. I'd be glad to after
January 21st. Okay, yeah, we'll make sure to have you on back about that subject. But I think maybe just to talk about something a bit more general, and if you can't get into this, then just say that. But you know, with what happened to you at the border and what you mentioned that's been going on with, you know, the Mohawk Nation people throughout, you know, for the past, for a long time at these borders, now seems to be going on just about everywhere, because I'm seeing on the news all the time about what's happening in the USA with this TSA. And now, have you been following any of this news about what the TSA has been doing? And does this... you know, does this
what is the
stand
TSA?
The TSA is the Transportation Something Authority. They're basically the guards that are in the airports. They're the ones that are operating the body scanners, and they're now doing full body pat down.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. Now, I don't know if you've been following the WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm. A bit.
You know, all of the revelations.
Right.
And the WikiLeaks just posted a secret list of sites vital to U.S. security. Do you know anything about that?
No, I haven't seen the list.
They're key foreign sites and resources that could be seriously harmed by terrorists. You know, that's what they're calling it.
Hmm.
And so these sites and resources are about half of them are on our land.
Whoa.
And you know, the Haudenosaunee territory of eastern. The northeastern part of Turtle Island has a very rare material called, well, one of them is niobium, which mm-hmm. lies under the Mohawk community of Gunnisadage, right near Oka, Quebec. Niobium strengthens and lightens metal for military weapons and space exploration. Mm-hmm. And this is a very rare metal. And it's right underneath Gunnisadage. And there are a whole lot of others, like the Darlington and Pickering nuclear power plants. They're east of Toronto, which, is, as you know, is on Mohawk land. And then there's international rail crossings and bridges, oil and gas pipelines, dams, mines, and factories. And what my question is that this is a secret list, and what is the United States going to do? Are they planning to invade Canada to come up here and take those sites and those resources? That's the question I have. Like, one of them is the Hydro-Québec, which is on our waterways and is providing power to the northeastern part of the United States,
right.
And then Barnhart Island of Agusasne, and there's a huge, the St. Lawrence Power Project is right on Barnhart Island, which they put on our island without even asking us about it. And now, and then you've got all these border crossings that they've listed, like the Ambassador Bridge, Alexandria Bay, Champlain, Fort Erie, Lewiston, Queenston, Peace Bridge, the Blue Water Bridge. Anyway, these. Now, why do they list those border crossings? You know, that's a question I have. And then you've got listed General Dynamics. Do you know who they are?
Their name sounds familiar from a Mohawk Nation's article.
Well, they make military hardware for the and the Thales in Montreal makes systems for combat vehicles, and I mean there's a whole list of them, and these are all on Haudenosaunee land, and then there's Raytheon. You probably heard of Raytheon. They make AGM 130 missile. You know what that is? So this is a secret list, okay?
Right.
And then you've got these pipelines. Now, there's a lot of resistance to these pipelines right now by our people,
mm-hmm.
like Enbridge, Alliance, you know, the whole bunch of them, and rail crossings and so on. The border crossing, other border crossings out west. And the James Bay Hydroelectric Project is on that list. And but anyway, the question I have is, why is it that I think it was 2006, they listed the Mohawks as terrorists? You know that they listed us in the Department of National Defense training manual as terrorists. You know that, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that the last time, which is...
Okay, and they also, hardcore. On the global risk, they mentioned us as terrorists and insurgents. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but suddenly the Canadian military is going to be apologizing to the Mohawk Nation.
Just all of a sudden.
This. Now, why do you think they're doing this?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a
why
they would do it.
Well,
what are your theories?
You can only guess that they need us. They need us either when they come for these sites,
strategic
or these
sites,
resources and sites that are vital to them, that we will stand aside, we won't resist, we won't say anything, we'll let them do it, or are we, you know, what are we going to resist? Mm-hmm. Why are they? That's the question I have. Why are they doing that? Why are they apologizing to us? They don't apologize to anybody ever, except of course what they did with to our people in the residential schools.
Right.
What is an apology anyway? Can somebody explain to me what is an apology?
Mm-hmm. Well,
admit you.
Right.
No.
Right. It is a sort of admission. That's true. And that's why you mentioned the Aboriginal apology. And I actually was broadcasting that day. I think it was actually a Wednesday that apology took place in 2008, I think. And we actually had Reverend Kevin Annett on the show then.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs the HiddenFromHistory.org website, and he made the movie Unrepentant. And what I've recently heard, though, was that Kevin Annett has been banned from Vancouver Co-op Radio out west. Now that surprised me when I'd heard that, and I started doing some research into what's been going on at, you know, the community radio out there, because of, you know, what. Well, I'm just hoping that they're not, you know, not trying to silence the truth. Have you heard about this situation with Kevin Annett? Do you have any words about Kevin Annett, on Kevin Annett?
I have, but I've been trying to check it out, and I really haven't been able to talk to anybody out there. I've called him myself, but he's never called me back. So I really would prefer to check this out before I make any comment on it.
Yeah, for sure.
I have to be careful, you know?
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
Because I'm being watched. And
right.
And the other thing, on the WikiLeaks thing, you know, I get up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I start searching for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a bit on the Indigenous, and the U.S. State Department considers us to. They are really afraid of the Indigenous people because of the. Well, you know, there is a movement of all Indigenous people all over the world to save Mother Earth. And so what's happening is that we're getting, they don't know what to do about it. So they've written a lot of cables on it. And we've been looking at them. And I think they're worried about the fact that we're resisting and, you know, that our people, for example, down in South America, there's a lot of resistance. And one of the they've targeted Evo Morales, who is the president of Bolivia, and targeting him, they've brought out all these scenarios, you know, about the global indigenous movement to stop the rape of Mother Earth, and the fact that it is actually having an impact. And we do have white supporters, but in this in the cable, the title of it is "Indigenous People versus White Privilege." Now, what do they mean by that?
Yeah, that's another question.
Why do the white people have privileges?
Mm-hmm.
They call it white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And this haughtiness towards us, it's very apparent. It just bleeds right through all of the material that I've looked at. And because of our resistance to the rape of Mother Earth, we are one of the tactics they're going to use is that any of us who stand in the way of development is going to be deemed a terrorist. And they're trying to find a way, and in the words of what I read, it says, and they must be dealt with. This is in the, the cable.
Wow. Now, these...
It's scary. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And these WikiLeaks are... They're a lot of them, the legend is that they're coming from whistleblowers, actually from inside these governments, official documents from governments and militaries, and, they've got the Vatican, they've got all kinds of people being exposed on WikiLeaks, but... The other thing that's going on with this whole WikiLeaks situation that people have been talking about has been that they're going to institute like a new internet rules or new, ways to shut down people's sites. I guess from your experience with what you've gone through with Mohawk Nation News, because I know you've mentioned in the past that you've had that your site's been attacked and stuff. How open do you think the internet still is? Like, what are your thoughts on the internet?
Well, my own personal, my experience with Mohawk Nation News is they crashed me quite a few times. I got back up, and then over a year ago, I was crashed again, and then all the companies that I was dealing with, they all were totally uncooperative in helping me, even though I was paying them, like Fastmail and Bluefur and all these. One was the listing that I used, and Blue Fur was the dissemination of my list of my communiques, and they all were totally uncooperative, wouldn't speak to me, and I ended up, I had to change and they kept on taking money off my visa, and I had to change my visa number so that they wouldn't have access to my visa. So I've had, and then when I tried to get it back up with somebody else, mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. I had to start from the very beginning, all the way from the beginning again.
Cool.
So they became obsessed with me and with what I was putting out. However, my website mm-hmm. Was being crashed all the time. I ended up, I had to host it in one of the Scandinavian countries. That was the only way that I could put it back up. And anybody that tried to host it, they were threatened.
Well,
and this is quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now in this WikiLeaks, what's interesting is that Evo Morales, here's what they said about Evo Morales. The reason why I'm interested, they said, well, we could go in and kill him, basically. But then they said, the only problem is that there might be a dozen more native people who are ready to step in, and they might be even more, capable than he is. So we can't do that. And then on top of that, all of the countries that he's allied with, and don't forget, he's hosting, he's allowing WikiLeaks into Bolivia. But all these other countries like Ecuador and so on, they would jump up. They would not be able to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
They would not be if they did something to Evo Morales. So the indigenous movement is, they recognize it as being very, very strong. And what they did was they had a spy in there, and from what I understand, but maybe it's not true, but I understand it was a native person who went in as a spy. But anyway, what they're concerned is the radicalization of the indigenous people For example, in Chile, they did, you know, stop a few things, and then Easter Island, they closed down the, the airport for about 24 hours. And so they're very concerned with this. It's happening. They think that it's going to happen all over the world. I don't know what you think. Do you think that's possible?
Well, yeah, I've definitely seen some. There's definitely major, you know, stuff going on everywhere in the world that I've noticed. You know, speaking about here locally, what we were actually talking about a bit on the show last week, we got in the topic of these wind turbines that we're seeing these massive. The province of Ontario has this massive plan to put in these gigantic turbines basically everywhere. And I got, you know, I saw a few more this past weekend driving through southern Ontario. I saw some. These wind turbines are going in everywhere, and I know that there's some local resistance, but it's basically, you know, it seems like a global. Basically, the guy that we heard from last week, Ron Stevens, was talking about this as, you know, as a New World Order plot. And the other local thing we've got going on environmentally, which I know is getting resistance because it's not totally approved yet, has been the nuclear waste shipment through the Great Lakes that they're talking about. You know, and that affects everyone in the Great Lakes, the whole St. Lawrence, and then you know, bringing this nuclear waste across the Atlantic to Sweden. I'm seeing there is enough stuff to be resistant against with the stuff that's going on. And I, you know, I guess I do hope that there is, a change in the mass global scale. But do you have any comments on those local environmental topics I brought up?
Well, in the northern part, just north of Six Nations, which is part of the Haldimand Track, there was there were windmills put in there by the Canada Hydro, and they never asked us if they could put them there. So, as a woman title holder, I put in an objection to it. I wrote to them and I said, "You don't have our." You know, permission, because we never surrendered this land.
Right.
And so they had started building some, and then they built some more. So when they didn't stop building them, I personally, as a woman title holder, a woman, and it's my duty to protect the land, I wrote to them. I sent them a registered letter, and I said that you've built on my land, and therefore, you know, you build on my land, it's mine. So we are taking possession of all of these, windmills. Anyway, they kind of laughed at it, but now they're trying to get rid of those windmills, trying to sell them off to somebody else. And there is one Mohawk guy living there, keeping an eye on that area. His name is Talgate. And he reports and tells us what's going on, and he goes to the town meetings, and he objects to everything. Anyway, and there are other structures up there, like the Etobicoke School Board built some kind of a summer camp type of center up there. And they never asked us if they could build it there on our land. So I wrote to them and I said, you know, this is our land. You never asked us for it. So it's ours, and give us the key to it. And apparently they looked into it and they looked at it. And it's a whole lot of structures. And there's even, areas where you could farm and all that kind of stuff. Well, from what I understand, we are going to eventually get the key to that whole project.
Nice.
You know, the Etobicoke Education Center. So now, I'm just saying that in these cases, in these instances, I think what these colonists are finding is that we are actually coming out, putting on paper the way that they look at it. You know, that's what they know. Mm-hmm. And we give them the historical information and the jurisdictional information, the Constitution, and so on. And then we start making claims. When they send it to their lawyers, they have no, that there's no question that we are right. And I'll tell you how I can prove that. In about 5 years ago, the state of New York wanted to settle the claims of New York State because we've never given up any of it. So they started 5 bogus court actions with the people, with the like the band councils, who are not the traditional councils, who right. have the sovereignty over the land. They, as you know, the band councils are set up by the government, so they agreed to go along with it. And so there was the Cayuga, the Onondaga, the Mohawk, the Seneca, and the Oneidas. So there were 5 cases going on, and they were all in the court. And what they were going to do was settle this thing up. They give some money to those people, and then they take our land. So what we did, there were 3 women, one from each clan, and we didn't go into the action in the court. What we did was we filed objections and a question. You call it a question. And the question was, we are the women title holders, and we want you to tell us how you can deal with this land that belongs to us that we never gave up. We need to know from you how you can do this when the land still belongs to us. Anyway, so after working on it, and we must have filed about 100 of those things in different wording over and over again. Anyway, so eventually, all 5 cases were dropped.
Well,
that's what happened. And then, there was the New York Power Authority. They wanted to put in this big, huge energy grid in the northern part of New York State.
Right.
So we decided to object to that. We said, you can't put this grid in there. Anyway, they didn't pay any attention to us. So what we did was, I don't know if you really want to hear what we did.
Yeah, sure.
What we did was, we filed objections to it. Mm-hmm. We sent it to the New York Power Authority, the Governor of New York, the President of the United States, the Governor General of Canada, and the Prime Minister, and the Queen of England, and even, I don't know, maybe even the Pope, too. But anyway, and we said that this is a fraud because we've never given up any of this land. These companies have gone to the stock exchange and in Wall Street, and they're raising money using our land as collateral when they have never asked us, we've never ceded this land to anybody. And so if they're going around trying to get people to invest money in a fraud, this is fraud.
Yeah.
And then we sent it to just about all the stock exchanges all over the world where they're raising money. So what do you think happened?
Well, I'd assume that would affect the investment. The
investors. Yes, it affected. Yes, it did.
Right.
So then they had to drop that.
Right.
So anyway, that's just what we did to these kind of situations. So Native people and our supporters, we have to start, you know, resist in some way. That's how we resisted, and it worked.
Nice. All right. Yeah. I think that's a good way to end it because we need the resistance and we need some solutions that work. So, thanks a lot, Cantonita Horn, for joining us today, and hopefully we can speak to you then at the end of January again or early February, after
All
your
right.
trial. Okay. Great. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thanks a lot, Cantonita.
Bye.
Bye. And that's Cantonita Horn, the editor of the Mohawk Nation News, MohawkNationNews.com if you want to check out more of the written work of Cantonita Horn. For more info, just check out MohawkNationNews.com. And thanks again, Cantonita Horn, one of the great guests that we've had on. Word of mouth, interview guest of the year, Cantonita Horn.